Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press.
So now this week, Maya, we are talking about something we hardly talk about, right? And this is short-term insurance. It's interesting because you see just a few players coming into the market now. And when there's new players in the market, it means that people can get to save a little bit more. And this week, you wrote about a new company on the market. It's called Solvency. And another one you wrote about is called Naked. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Maya?
Yeah, so Solvency, I actually had spoke to both of them this week. They're both short-term insurers. And I think it's interesting that we never talk about short-term insurance because it's actually so important. We all have, if we have a car, we have insurance. If we have a house, we have insurance.
Yes.
And often people say to me, I don't have any room to save. And one of the things we always tell people is go check your fixed costs, those things that you are paying for insurance, and find ways to cut your costs. So it's always interesting to me when the new players come in. And one of the big things that I'm seeing with new players is that technology is just driving down cost. So if they're creating new platforms that can get admin done quicker, that can risk rate better, then you, if you're a good customer, can actually save money. So this week I spoke to Mutuda Mahamba from Solvency, and he's an interesting young guy, actuary, worked for a whole lot of the big players, and he just saw this massive gap where he said 10% of all claimants, about 10% are what we call multiple claimants. So they are forever claiming. The other 90% of us who perhaps are not claiming that frequently are often really cross-subsidizing.
Yes.
And he said one of the big areas is actually around excess. So when you take out car insurance and you have a 4,000 rand excess, that's often the basic excess. So excess is what, you're in an accident, you have to pay the first 4,000 before the insurer pays out. And what he found was that people would often, in order to drop their premiums, this is one way to drop your premiums, is to increase that excess. So increase it to say 10,000 rand and your premium would go down because now the insurer is off the handle, of course, for the first 10,000. Yes. But he said people would do that and then they would the accident would happen and guess what? They don't have the 10 grand.
Yeah, because we don't have that emergency fund.
We don't, because we think we're going to, but we don't. So what these guys, what Solvency said is, okay, why don't we actually provision for this excess in the same way that you do with your medical scheme? So you know when you have your medical scheme, some of it goes to savings and you pull out of those savings to pay for day-to-day medication or doctor visits that are not covered by the risk side. So they've done that. They've said when you take out a premium with us, insurance with us, first of all, 5% will automatically go into a savings fund that'll earn interest in your name. If you choose to increase the excess up to 25%, you can get up to 25% of that premium back in theory, but that doesn't come back into your pocket. It doesn't give you a lower monthly installment or monthly premium. 25% goes into a savings account to prepare you for emergency.
So sort of to build up that emergency fund. Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it is that if you don't have an accident, remember about 90% of people actually only claim about every four years. Okay. They're not claiming every year. After a year, you can actually draw out 50% of that for other things. Maybe you've got other emergencies to meet. So I think this is quite an interesting idea around this kind of invisible thing.
Yes, yes. But now, Maya, what if you've signed up for this contract and you get into an accident, say, 2 months into the contract? What happens then?
Exactly. So that's what I concluded in my article. This is great. This is creating this kind of invisible emergency saving because we all say, oh, I'll get a discount on my insurance and then I'll save the money. We don't. We spend it. So this actually forces you to save that discount in a sense. But that's the risk. The risk is, obviously, if you take the basic excess of 4,000 rand, it doesn't matter who you're insured with, you're still going to have it. But if you go and you go up to 10,000 and then you have the accident in month three, you're going to have a big one. So I think you have to be wide awake and realize that that's the big risk.
But now, Maya, with the savings, let's say it's 5% of your premium. How long, realistically, will it take you to build this emergency fund? I mean, I don't want people to read this article and think, you know what, I'm going to build my emergency fund this way, but you're putting 100 rand into your emergency fund.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that is very important. I think in the article, I actually looked at that 25%. So say you'd gone, because remember now that's what you need it for. You need it because you've gone for the lower excess. And I think it took about 4 years. So if you took a 10,000 rand excess, it would take you about 4 years, about 3.5 years before you actually had that money enough money to fully cover the excess. So I think there's a big gap that you need to be aware of. So again, I like this idea of the fact that, okay, I get a better premium, but instead of it just going into my budget and getting spent on, I don't know, new shoes, the better premium is actually going into really is saving. So I think I like that element of it. But I don't think we should oversell the fact that you still need to be prepared for that emergency or that car accident for the first few years. Yeah, absolutely. So I think one has to be very realistic about it.
But I absolutely love the savings part, especially for something that you're already kind of spending money on. I think that's a nice one. I think also even in the article, you did mention something like the F&B app. Remember we spoke about it the last time? And lo and behold,
Yes.
my app, and now I've rounded it off to 50 bucks because, you know, I can. And I am just loving it. I am absolutely loving it.
Oh, you're a brave woman.
You're a brave woman. All in.
So I think that when I wrote the article, I really positioned it like that. I said, this idea of we are so bad at saving because we hate giving up, we're at sacrifice. But what happens if your saving is almost invisible? And that's something like F&B Bank Your Change. So every time you swipe your card, if it's 65 Rand, you can round it up to 75 Rand. If you're Mapolo, you can round it up significantly more. And then at the end of the year, it's like that loose change and that you put into the jar, it becomes more significant.
You know, the reason why I'm doing it, so my son's birthday is coming up and I wanted to save enough for his birthday celebration that I don't really have to think about it. So for me, it is for that purpose. And that's why maybe 50 bucks. I know it seems excessive, but I think it works.
But I love it because, okay, let's be perfectly honest here. The amount of times I go and I swipe my card at Pick and Pay or wherever it is, and I don't actually look at how much it is. I don't. And you walk off. And so the fact that there's maybe an extra 50 bucks chucked on there.
And it's a saving.
You wouldn't really notice. Yeah, you're saving.
Exactly. And for me, I just got so excited about it. So I went all in with the 50 bucks.
I love it. I think that's absolutely brilliant. I think that should be the highlight of this podcast, is go all in. And every time you spend, you save.
Yeah.
It creates that automatic balance against that.
Because you don't want to spend that money in any case, right? So for me, I absolutely love it. So the guys at Solvency, I think it's something definitely to look into. What about Naked? How do they work?
Yeah, so Naked is, I love the name Naked because they now have, they have an app that where you take a selfie, and I said to them, I don't want to type in naked selfie into selfie app into the Google search. So I think their name can sometimes cause some concerns when you're Googling. But so Naked is not a new player in the sense they've been around, I think, 2 years on car insurance. And that is it's app based, and it uses artificial intelligence, and you can basically be insured within 3 minutes. You can switch your insurance on and off. It's a really, really cool app. And very quick way to insure yourself. You just take pictures of the car and it's all done for you. So they've now come to market with house insurance, home content insurance. And what they're doing is they're onboarding. Again, this is where it's critical, the onboarding, how easy it is to take out the insurance. So you go onto the app and a woman called Rose chats to you. It's a chatbot. And ask you all your questions, where you live, how much you want to insure for, this is what it'll be. And then she asks you to take pictures of two things. First of all, if there's some items you specifically want to insure, like your laptop, you'll actually take a picture of it with a serial number, and it's immediately covered on the insurance. Mm-hmm. But then she also asks you to take pictures of your inside of your home, so your living room, your bedrooms, so that she can start to see if there are things, or she, the app, in artificial intelligence, can start to see if there are items there that you have maybe forgotten about. Because the biggest risk, what Ernst North from Naked was telling me, the biggest risk everyone runs is that they're underinsured. So what happens is you come along and you come to claim your insurance, you've been robbed, and the insurer arrives and says, but hold on a second, you only insured your contents for 100,000. You've got about 200,000 rands worth of contents here. You're only insured at 50%. We're only going to pay our 50% of the claim.
Yeah.
It is one of the biggest reasons for dissatisfaction. So what they do is they then say to you, hold on a sec, based on what we can see around your house, we actually think you're underinsured. You know, we need, and then you could then revert to human and actually go and chat to a human interface. And I think they basically want to get to a point where they have properly underwritten the insurance up front. They've properly assessed it.
But I think people do that because of the premium, Maya?
You know, what was so interesting is how tiny the premium is actually for household insurance. So I'll give you, this was another thing that I was very interesting to me, was he used an example. He said what he finds is that a lot of young people who may just have like a flat somewhere and they don't have a lot of contents, so they don't insure the contents. They think, so what about my fridge and my, and I come across this often. Yeah, it's not much. So, but they do need to insure something like their cell phone and their laptop. So they take out the insurance for their cell phone and their laptop and say they're each worth 10,000 Rand and they have 1,000 Rand excess. That would cost them 228 Rand per month. This is from Naked, gave me these stats. That would cost you about 228 Rand a month. If they went and they simply, say they didn't have the laptop insurance and they bought household content insurance for 150,000. 150,000 Rand household contents with a 3,000 Rand excess is only 91 Rand a month. So do you see the difference? Because the risk of your entire of loss of household contents is obviously much lower. So then he says, yeah, exactly. So he says, so, but then if you have the 150,000 Rand content insurance for 91 Rand and you add those two devices to that as specific items, you actually pay 220 Rand a month. So your premium is less for the household contents and the laptop and cell phone than just buying the laptop and cell phone. Although keep in mind your actual premium, your actual excess is a little bit higher. It's 3,000 versus 1,000. But the point is that he's saying people often misunderstand. They think I'm saving money by not having household contents insurance, but that's the cheap part. The expensive part are the individual items. So, you know, that's where I think one must be careful that you don't land up in a situation where you think that you're fully insured because you're trying to save on the premium. But when you make a claim and it's really important for literally virtually the same premium, you would have been fully covered. So I think it's just really about making sure that you have the cover in place and realizing that it's actually not going to cost you much more.
Yeah, but I think it's, you know, trying to demystify insurance itself, because people are always afraid, are they going to pay me? Is my claim going to get paid or not? And I think also going back to that whole disclosure, you know, what is it that you are really trying to insure here?
I think that is, when I look at complaints about insurance, it's most often the disclosure side. People haven't fully disclosed the information. And, you know, I also, when I look at insurance, I want to know what are the payout on the other side. And I think for a brand, and especially a new brand, even I think of many of the new players, online players that have come into the market, even My Way or any of those guys, they started many years ago. They cannot afford negative publicity. They just can't. Yeah, maybe a massive big insurer with a huge book can afford negative publicity. These new players on the block actually can't afford it. They can't afford to have it all over social media that they didn't pay out. So I think I'm less worried about them paying out for legitimate. I don't think they're not going to pay out for legitimate claims. I think the problem comes in if the full disclosure wasn't made, that they didn't fully understand, you didn't give them all the right information. And I think that's, so it's often human, it's the consumer's error, I think, often in that case.
Yeah. So there's lots of savings to be had, but also as consumers, we must be honest.
We need to be honest. And there were also some great, I think, honesty. And then also just sometimes you need to be a little bit sussed. Like I said, you know, people don't realize that, I didn't realize that taking that household contents was negligible. I mean, it really costs no more than, you know, than insuring your laptop and cell phone separately. But there are also so many other things, like reviewing your insurance. How often do you review your car insurance?
Yes, I do that every year because I just don't like paying that much.
And what happens when you do it? Generally speaking, do you get better premiums?
Oftentimes, not really. Normally, they hassle you and tell you, no, this is how, you know, the increases are every single year. Unless if you say, okay, I'm going to move to another insurer, then they'll say, okay, we'll take a look at it. But it's not always as easy. I think that's the problem.
So what's also quite interesting is chatting to Naked, is they said it's two really key times to be checking your reviewing your insurance. The first is when you're young. So when you look at the risk of a driver, this is specifically car insurance, your first year of driving, you are a massive risk. Eh? This person's got no driving experience. The chance of an accident is massive. So your premium is huge. Yeah.
Maya, you know, just the amount of dents and stupid driving mistakes I made with my first car. It was horrible. So I can imagine. Obviously, the premium was ridiculous. My parents used to complain all the time.
And that's it. It's really expensive to insure when you're young. But every single year, every year of driving experience you get, your risk comes down massively. So you should literally be seeing a premium reduction every single year from your insurer as you build up your driving experience. But guess what? Whenever does an insurer phone you and say, well done, you've got another year of driving experience. May we cut your premium by 10-20%? Never.
They don't, obviously. So I think that's where, as a consumer, you have to be very proactive. So I saw that big difference when I got married and had a child as well.
So when you got married and had a child, your insurance went down?
Yeah, so I phoned them again in the year. I said, you know the questions that they ask you, I saw that it was becoming just slightly less. The increases were not as crazy.
So I'll tell you, do you know that married people tend to have better ratings than divorced people? No, you laugh. So my sister-in-law had to update her insurance policies. She just got divorced. For whatever reason, she phoned them for something. Yeah. And she mentioned that she was now divorced. And they said, oh, and her premium went up.
What?
So she phoned me, obviously, and said, this is not right. Why has my premium gone up? So I made a call to a couple of insurers on the risk side. And they said, the chance of you having a car accident after a divorce, 18 months after a divorce, absolutely double. Do you know that in all her years of driving, the only time she had an accident
was
in the 18 months after her divorce?
What?
Yep.
That is so bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, they are actuaries. They're not behavioralists. They just literally look at the stats, and the stats show them you get divorced. And also, once you get married, you tend to be settled down. You see, you're not out partying, drinking maybe quite as much. There's a whole, and it's not that they're assuming this. They have the stats to show.
That's behind it. That is so bizarre.
Exactly.
Mind-blowing.
So if you've just got married, tell your insurer. You got divorced, maybe not.
Save you some money there. Oh, that is brilliant.
And another one that I picked up as well, and this actually relates to in my case, is, you know, when you're in a car accident and somebody drove into me, it's always the worst when somebody drives into you, because you're like, but hold on a second, it wasn't even my fault that your insurance premium goes up. So my insurance premium went up. I discovered through Ernest, who I go to for all my complaints now, that after 2 years after an accident, your premium, your risk, and you haven't had an accident. So say I've now got 2 years of clean driving. Yes. I should go back to my insurer and they should drop my premium because my risk has now improved again. So your risk improves again if you've had, I suppose it's a little bit like that claims-free period. But we never go back and say, okay, yes, I had that accident, but now you need to put me back to the premium I was before because I've now haven't had had any accidents for 2 years.
Yeah, and also because, I mean, the insurance company is not going to phone you and say, hey, Maya, we just want to find out if you have not had an accident so we can lower your premium. So really the onus is always on us to keep on going back to those insurance companies.
Always. Everyone is going to try and take a little bit more money than they need to. And it is. And you know, though, I had a conversation today with someone and they spoke about fatigue. About money fatigue, admin fatigue. So, and I just thought, you know, we're sitting here telling you, go call your insurers, go question everything, go check your documents. But why do so few people do it?
Yeah, because we're busy with our lives. There's so much going on.
We're tired.
That this is just one more thing to do. And for crying out loud, most people don't really want to be that involved with their money.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think sometimes that that's where the system also just feels like it feels like a fight. You know, it just feels like a fight all the time that you're just constantly aware, have to be aware for being screwed over. And maybe there's also just something wrong in the design of things. And maybe this is where the new players can hopefully come in and challenge the status quo. Because why should I not be given the correct rating? You know, why are you not coming to me and saying, you are correctly insured and we will monitor it and we will adjust your premiums downwards, hopefully, because you know what? We're very quick to adjust them upwards when you have an accident, but we're not so quick to adjust them back down again. And when we are, you know, hopefully I would love to see places like Solvency, Naked. I'm going to keep an eye on these guys to see that they are delivering on these promises. Say, right, we will make sure that you're properly risk rated and that you are paying the premium you're supposed to and not because of your fatigue, your admin fatigue, that you're just paying more.
You're not going through some call center. And I like the fact that they're all online. You know, for me, if I can do it on my laptop or on my cell phone, I say I.
And this is where we're also seeing this this technology move again. So one of the things Naked said to me, I'm actually going to test it out. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to actually use their app to do my house and see if they can beat my insurance quote. And I must tell you, I have a very good insurance. I've got an excellent insurance that's pretty well priced. And he said to me, one of the criticisms they've actually had is that their premiums are coming in so much lower that people are questioning what's missing. So, you know, if you go and you go online and you compare quotes and one quote's always so much better than the others, there's always something they're not insuring, right? Oh, well, we don't cover hail damage and you're a Gauteng driver, you know? So that's why and you don't read the small print and suddenly the hailstorm happens and you discover why that premium was...
through the whole thing.
Yeah, and then you've signed it and so what? You know, that's a lot of what, you know, tough tacky, you should have read the T's and C's. And
normally that's the attitude.
Exactly. So, and they can say to me, the thing is their premiums are lower simply because they, of the AI and the technology, they don't have people capturing. They don't have anything. They've got...
So they don't have those overheads.
Yeah, they don't have any overheads. And he said literally the tech saving, the saving on admin is being handed is why they're able to drive the premiums lower. And I think we're starting to see that a lot more. We're seeing it with the banks. Why do you think Time Bank and when it arrives, Bank Zero, are able to come in so much cheaper? Because they are, when you're opening something new and you're leveraging all that massive technology that's now available, you know, Time Bank, you walk in, you use your thumbprint. And you get a card immediately with your name on it. Try and do that with a paper-based bank. You know, they just...
Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah. So, and yeah, obviously the paper-based banks are trying to catch up, but they still have the legacy costs. So even if they're using the new technology, they're still heavy legacy costs that they're sitting with.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting space. And as much as we get admin fatigue, the new guys coming into the market are definitely helping, I think, you know, drive down these costs.
Yeah. And I think also just the consumer eventually will get used to the fact that, you know, this is the new norm. Whereas now a lot of people still doubt, goodness, why is it so cheap? Are they really good? Are they going to cover everything? But I think we will also get there.
We will. And I think also when I look at these new players, they're going to be attractive to the youth, to the young market. So you're tech savvy, comfortable. Okay. So I was comfortable using an app. I just have to share you for a moment a story. So I'm standing in an incredibly long queue, ATM queue. I don't normally ever go near a bank
branch.
Why would
you do that? Why Why would you do that?
Yeah. So it was all, I had to draw a large amount of money that I couldn't do as a cashback. And I forgot it was month end. Okay. Oops. This queue was endlessly long and they were all older people. And there was a woman in front of me, an old lady, who was starting to fret. And I said, what's wrong? She said, the man who helps me at the ATM isn't there because the bank had just opened. And she said, so I said, what do you need to do? And I said to her, look, I cannot help you. You can't, no one can see your...
You can't trust anyone.
No, you can't help anyone unless the bank person's there either. But I said, she just needed to check her balance on her 7-day notice and do a transfer. She's been doing this every month. She is so scared to use an ATM that she needs a man to stand and help her. And I noticed that all these people needed help doing incredibly basic transactions. So then I showed her the FNB app because it was FNB Q, and I showed her the app. And I said, this is how you can transfer on the app. She looked at me and said, but that's just a miniature screen. That's the ATM, but just on a phone. And I said, yes, that's what it is. So I don't have to stand in this long queue to do this.
Oh, wow.
So no. And I said to her, can you make it your New Year's resolution to learn to use the app? Go into FNB, sit with a consultant who will, I promise you, spend the time, because they don't want those long queues at the ATM.
Mm.
We'll spend the time and learn. And I just realized then that this new app, this new online, all of this is for the younger generation. For older people, it's just too scary. So I think these guys are going to do well with younger people who also are maybe insuring for the first time. So they're not going to have, they're just going to insure for the first time. They will be comfortable with the process. They are so used to doing stuff via their phones. It won't be an issue. But I think it'll be very hard to get that old lady anywhere near anything called naked in the first place.
My dad still goes out and buys airtime at the store. Okay, Maya.
Yeah.
So I know all about that. He's not doing his insurance over the phone anytime soon.
But I think, there are places to save money. And if you don't have complete admin fatigue, you definitely want to shop around. But I think probably the thing that I've taken out this week, chatting to both of these companies, is probably the one that I think I was hit by the most was this idea that content insurance is actually not that expensive. And if you're going to insure your laptop or your cell phone, just it's almost no more expensive to at least lob on an extra 150,000 rand of content insurance onto it. And at least then, if your house is flooded, if you get robbed, if something happens,
it's more value for money, I think.
It's a lot more value for money. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press personal finance pages.